Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we're learning Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah Perek Vav, continuing in the general topic of Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah, which is mitzvot that relate to a person's direct contact with God or God's name. Perek Vav discusses the prohibition against erasing God's name or destroying an object which has God's name on it. Halacha Aleph, kol ha-me'abed shem min ha-shemot ha-kadoshim ha-tehorim shenikra ben ha-kadosh baruch hu, anyone who destroys one of the holy and pure names by which God is called, lo kemin ha-Torah, he gets malkot, she-harei hu omer b'avodah zarah, v'ibadetem et shema min ha-makom ahu, lo tasun kein la-shem elokechem. The Pesuk in Parshat Re'eh discuss the obligation to destroy places up in Eretz Yisrael where the goyim used to worship their idols. And afterwards it says, Lo tasun kein l'shem elokechem, do not do this to God, meaning do not destroy God's name. It should be pointed out that the simple reading of the psukim is not what the Rambam says here. The simple reading of the psukim is that after the Torah describes how the goyim worship their gods in multiple places, and then says you have to destroy those places, when it then says, Lo tasun kein l'shem elokechem, what it means is don't worship your God in multiple places. Hashem should be worshipped through the one location of the Beis HaMikdash, and the continuation of Parshas Re'eh really is all about the centrality of the Beit HaMikdash. But the drasha is that Lo tasun kein l'shem elokechem also refers to the prohibition against destroying God's name, as there was a mitzvah to destroy the places of worship of the idols. Halacha bet, v'shiva shemot hein. There are seven names that is forbidden to erase. Hashem shenichtav yud kei vav kei v'hu Hashem ha-meforash, the explicit name of God, which we typically just refer to as yud kei vav kei, or hanichtav aleph dalid nun yud. And that is the name that's also written, aleph dalid nun yud, and all this the Rambam considers one name, because even the shame that is written, yud kei vav kei, is pronounced aleph dalid nun yud, so even when it's written aleph dalid nun yud, it's the same name. And then the next six, Vekel, Veloka, Velokim, Ve'ehye, Veshakai, Utsvakot. These are six more names of God that's forbidden to erase. The only one which we're not that familiar with is the name of Ehye, which of course is how God introduces himself to Moshe at the burning bush in Parshat Shemot, when he refers to himself as Ehye, Asher Ehye. Kol mochek afilu ot achad mishiva shemot elu, loke. Even if you erase only one letter, that's already enough to get Malkot, even if you don't erase the whole name. Halacha Gimel, kol hanitpal l'shem milefanav, mutar l'machko. Any prefix to a name of God, you're allowed to erase. Kigon lamed mi l'ashem, ubet mi belukim, v'chayutze behen, enan kiktushat Hashem. A letter written before the name does not acquire the holiness of the name. V'chol hanitpal l'shem me'achorav, kigon kaf shel elokecha, v'kaf mem shel elokechem, v'chayutze behen, enan nimchakim. However, a suffix, letters which are written at the end of the name, like the kaf in elokecha, and the kaf mem in elokechem, those do have kedusha. V'harein kishar otiot shel shem. They're just like the rest of the letters of the name. Mipnei she'ashem mikadshan. The rationale here is very straightforward. Once you write the name, so it has kedusha, and anything which you continue to add to the name partakes of that kedusha. But any letters written before the name itself was written, there's nothing holy there yet for it to partake of, and so those letters do not have kedusha. V'af al pi shenit kadshu v'asur l'mochkan, ha-mochek elu otiot ha-nipalot l'eino loke, aval makino oto makat mardut. However, someone who erases the letters, the suffix, after the name, even though it's forbidden, he does not get malkot. He does, however, get makat mardut, which is a onesh drabanan. That's not to say that the isur of erasing these letters isn't from the Torah. It might be. But the Rambam believes, in many instances, that you only get malkot on something which is forbidden explicitly in the Torah. And these letters, even though they might be asur midaraita, their prohibition might not be explicit enough to warrant the punishment of Malkot. Halacha Dalet. Katav Aleph Lamed Me Elokim, Yud Hei Me Hashem, Eino Nimchak. If someone hasn't written a full name, but has written a part of a name, and that part itself has meaning as a name, then that already can't be erased. So, for instance, the Aleph Lamed of Elohim, that already spells out the name Kel. Or just writing Yud He from the Yud Kei Vav Kei, that also spells out a name. Ve'ein Tzrich Lamar Ka, if someone writes Yud He by itself to mean a name of God, even though that name is not one of the seven, which isn't erased, when he writes it, he's still not allowed to erase it because it is part of the Shem HaMefurosh of Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's part of the Shema Mufurash, and therefore you're not allowed to erase it at all. However, if the part of the name that he writes does not have meaning in and of itself as a name, then one is allowed to erase it. So, for instance, the Shin Dalid of the word Shakai, or Tzadi Bet of the word of the name Tzvakot, he would be allowed to erase. Halacha hei, Sha'ar HaKinuyin, Shemeshabchin Behen HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kigon Chanun V'Rach Chum, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vanora, Haneman, Kana, Vechazak, Vechazibahen, Harehin, Keshar, Divya Kodesh, Umutar, Lemochkan. The names by which God is referred to, describing his attributes, but which are not the names of his essence, names like Chanun V'Rachum, describing how merciful he is, Gadol Gibor V'Nora, describing how great he is, Neman, trustworthy, Kana V'Chazak, takes vengeance, strong, names like these, what are known as Kinuyim, these one is allowed to erase. They do not have the status of the name of God. They are like other Divrei Kodesh, that is to say, just words that are written, that may have come from the Torah, but do not themselves have the Kedusha that would forbid them from being erased. Halacha Vav, Kli Shahaya Shem Katuv Alav, Kotzeitz Et Mekom Hashem V'Gonzo, a utensil on which God's name is written does not require Geniza in its entirety. It's sufficient to cut off the part of it that has God's name on it, and to put that in Geniza. Afilu Haya Shem Chakuk B'Kli Matachot O B'Kli Yizchuchit V'Ticha Kli Harei Zelokeh. However, if someone doesn't put in Geniza and he melts down a glass or metal kli which has God's name written on it, he gets malkot. That's considered destroying God's name. There also he has to cut out the part of the kli with God's name and put that in Geniza. If God's name is written on his skin, he is not allowed to wash it off and not allowed to stand in a place where there is some kind of filth, urine or feces. Nizdamno tefila shel mitzvah, krechlav gemi v'tovel. What if he has to be tovel, to become tahor, or let's say a woman who has to go to the mikveh? So in that case, the name of God on the skin can be covered up with some kind of reed or some other material. V'imlo matzagemi, misabev bivgadav v'lo yehadek kedei shelo yachotz. If he doesn't have a reed or any other material, he can use his clothing to cover up the name, but he should not tighten it, because we don't want to have a chatzitza. When a person goes to the mikveh, water has to cover every part of the body, and therefore, even though the name has to be covered, but it can't be covered to such an extent that water doesn't get on that part of the body. Shelo amru lichroch alav, ela mipnei she'asur la'amod bifnei Hashem kishehu arom. The Rambam is adding something very interesting here. He's saying, really, the reason you have to cover God's name on your skin when you're tovel is not to avoid it being erased. The Mefarshim explain, if God's name is erased when you're tovel, that's at worst a situation of grumma. It's indirectly causing God's name to be erased. You're not erasing it directly. You're just being tovel. The reason why the name has to be covered is because you should not appear naked in front of God's name. And so, therefore, you should cover it up. But since we don't want the chatzitza, so the covering shouldn't be too tight. But if God's name is erased, that's an unfortunate consequence, but it's grumma, and therefore the person being tovel doesn't have to worry about it and risk not having a proper tefillah to avoid the erasure of God's name. Halacha Zayin, Hasoter afilu even achat derech hashchata min hamizbeach o min haichal o mishar hazara lokeh. Just like erasing God's name is Asur, so too someone who destroys one stone from the altar or from the Heichal or other parts of the Azara, this is the main area of the Beis HaMikdash, gets Malkot. Shenamar Avodah Zara, Ki et Mizbechotam Ti Totsun, V'chatuv Lo Tasun Kein Lashem. Again, that same pasuk of Lo Tasun Kein Lashem Elokeichem is understood as referring also to the requirement to destroy the altars of the Avodah Zara, and we are not allowed to destroy the altar of God. Someone who destroys wood, which was consecrated to Hekdesh, also gets Malkot. We're obviously not talking here about wood, which was designated for burning, because that is meant to be burnt. We're talking here about wood, which is meant for building. Shinamar v'asherem tisrafun, lo tasun. There too, the trees of Avodah Zarah, the Asherahs, we need to burn, and the Tarsara says, don't do that regarding the wood belonging to God. Halacha chet, kitvei hakodesh kulan ufei rushehen uvei urehen, all kitvei hakodesh, meaning Sifrei Torah, Nevi'im and Ketuvim, even parts that do not contain the name of God, as well as their perushim and biurim. Perushir refers to the Targum, and biurim refers to any other kind of explanation. It's forbidden to burn them. Asur lisrofotan o labdan beit bayad. V'hamabed bayad lo kemakat mardut. Someone who destroys these directly, in this case the prohibition is not midoraita, it's midrabanan, and therefore he gets makat mardut.
An interesting question which has come up more recently with the explosion of printing, and there seems to be printed Torah all over the place, is whether it's okay to recycle paper on which Torah is written. And Ramosha Feinstein felt that it was okay to recycle any Torah as long as it doesn't have the name of God, but anything with the name of God written in it should really go into Geniza.
Here we're talking about Kitvei HaKodesh written by a Jew with holiness, with a proper intent. However, Min, and the Rambam in other places, we'll see in Hilchot Tshuva, understands a min to refer to someone who is an atheist, someone who rejects the existence of God or the unity of God. If he writes the Sefer Torah, we burn it. We burn it together with the names of God inside it. Why? Mipnei she'eino ma'min b'kedushat Hashem. This min does not believe in the in the holiness of the name. V'lo k'tavo ela k'vu ma'le b'dato she'ze k'shar ha'dvarim. When he wrote the name of God, he just understood it to be like any other word. And therefore, the name was not sanctified, and it's permitted to burn it. But why should we burn it? And so it's appropriate to burn it, because this way we don't want to leave any kind of remnant of anything written by a min. It's interesting that other Rishonim interpret min differently and interpret this halacha differently. Rashi understands that a min is a Jew who worships Avodah Zarah, in which case when he writes a Sefer Torah, so whenever he writes God's name, the assumption is that he had in mind his Avodah Zarah. And in that case, the Sefer Torah itself gains a status of quasi-Avodah Zarah, and that's why it needs to be burnt. It needs to be burnt, just like Avodah Zarah needs to be burnt. According to the Rambam's understanding, it doesn't have the status of Avodah Zarah. It just isn't Kodesh at all. And the reason we burn it is sort of a side reason, so as not to leave behind in this world any remnant of anything written by a min. But according to Rashi, it really should be burnt because it has this quasi Avodah Zarah status. Aval goy shekatav et Hashem gonzinoto. But a non-Jew who just writes God's name, the assumption is that he understood what it meant and he had in mind the sanctity of God's name, and therefore he put it in Geniza. And so too Kitvei HaKodesh that either
are starting to show their age and crumble and fall apart,
or that a goy wrote, these also go in Geniza. Halachatet. In this halacha, the Rambam discusses specific names which are written in various contexts in Tanakh, and about which there is some ambiguity if it really refers to God or to something non-holy. Kol Shemot HaMorot Ba'Avraham Kodesh. Av zesh namar Adonai imna matzati chen be'enecha. When Avram speaks to the Malachim at the beginning of Parshat Vayera, he refers to them as Adonai. That could have been understood to mean literally my masters, sirs, as it were, and not as God's name. But nonetheless, the understanding is that he recognized them as angels of God, and therefore that word is really a reference to the name of God and is treated as holy. Kol ha'shemot hamurot belot chol.
With Lot, on the other hand, when Lot sees the Malachim when they come to Sodom, and he uses this the same word, Adonai, to refer to them, those are understood to be chol, they're not holy. Chutz mizeh, except for one, Al na Adonai, hine matzav decha chen. When Lot is running away from Sodom and wants to gain refuge in a nearby city, so he uses that term, Al na Adonai, and there it's understood that he is speaking to God because he's offering a prayer. He's requesting something. He's requesting that he be saved from the destruction of stone. Kol HaShemot HaMorot B'Givat Binyamin Kodesh, in the story of Pilegesh B'Giva and the subsequent war between the other Shvatim and Binyamin at the end of Sefer Shoftim. Any shame that appears there is Kodesh. Kol HaShemot HaMorot B'Micha Chol. Shortly before that story, towards the end of Sefer Shoftim, there's a story of Pesel Micha. Micha was a self-styled Kohen, actually from Shevet Ephraim, who built his own private Beit HaMikdash with an idol. And there, any name that appears is not Kodesh. Kol HaShemot HaMorot B'Navot Kodesh. In the story of Achav, who framed Navot and brought witnesses to say that he had cursed God. So even though the story is completely fictional, Navot didn't curse God, any reference to God in that story is holy because it's a reference to the real God. Kol Shlomo Ha'amur B'Shir HaShirim Kodesh V'Arei Hu Kisha'ar HaKinuyin. Every time the word Shlomo appears in Shir HaShirim, it is Kodesh. The word Shalom can sometimes refer to God, and therefore we are careful not to say the word Shalom in the bathroom. Chutz Mizeh, except for one, Ha'elef Lecha Shlomo, towards the end of Shir HaShirim, when he speaks about planting a vineyard and says that 1,000 are for you, Shlomo, that's a reference to Shlomo the king and not to God. Kol Malchaya Amor B'Daniel Chol, anytime it says the word Malchaya, which is Aramaic, most of Daniel is in Aramaic. The word Malchaya is Aramaic for king, so every time it says in Daniel, it is Chol, refers to the human king. Chutz Mizeh Ant Malka Melech Malchaya, that pasuk talking about the king of kings, that's Kodesh, that's referring to Hashem. V'arehu Kishara Kinuyin, and has the same status as other Kinuyin, which we said earlier one is allowed to erase. Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.